We start with two high-profile decisions today from the Supreme Court. The Affordable Care Act will stay in place, and religious freedom prevails in a case out of Philadelphia. The court ruled in favor of a Catholic foster agency that turned away gay and lesbian couples who wanted to be foster care parents. And let's bring in Emily Bazelon to break down the significance of these rulings. She's a senior research scholar at Yale Law School. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Tanya.
Hey, so let's start with the case of the ACA, California versus Texas. Justice Alito referred to this case as the, quote, third installment in an epic affordable care trilogy, referring to this being the third time the court has actually taken this up. How did they rule this time?
Well, this time there were seven justices rejecting the challenge to the Affordable Care Act from the Republican plaintiffs. And they said effectively that the plaintiffs did not have standing, did not have an adequate legal reason to be bringing the lawsuit in the first place because they hadn't suffered the kind of direct injury that a lawsuit is supposed to address.
Is it a surprise that they ruled this way?
I don't think it's a surprise that they rejected this challenge to Obamacare. And the 7-2 vote, I think, shows that as this trilogy of challenges has continued, the legal arguments for striking down the law have gotten weaker and weaker. The idea that there was no standing to sue, that wasn't clearly the reason. There were other problems, I think, with this challenge. So I was surprised a little bit by the standing reason that the court gave. But I think the rejection of the challenge overall was pretty much expected.
Emily, does this mean that it's the end of the line, specifically for conservative challenges to the ACA?
I mean, I think so. It's hard to say for sure what else someone who didn't like this law could come up with. But I think what we are seeing is the Supreme Court saying, look, if you don't like this law, there are plenty of policy reasons to disagree with it. But that really is something to be worked out in the political arena, not through the courts.
Okay, let's go to this next big case, Fulton versus Philadelphia. The court said a Catholic foster care agency was exempt from local laws prohibiting discrimination against same-sex couples. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion. What was his reasoning?
So this is a case in which the city of Philadelphia said to a Catholic social services agency that if you refuse to approve any same-sex couples as foster care parents, we don't want to contract with you anymore because that violates our protections against discrimination for LGBT people. And normally, when you have a law that incidentally burdens religion, as this one does for Catholic social services, you're allowed to continue upholding that law as long as it's neutral and it's generally applicable. In other words, the law doesn't target a religious group and it applies to everybody. So what we see here is Chief Justice Roberts, for the majority, giving what's really a very technical reason for his claim that Philadelphia's anti-discrimination rule is not generally applicable. And he's looking at this language in the ordinance, which says that the city, hypothetically at least, could allow an exception to its policies for someone. And so Roberts is saying, well, if the city allows exceptions for any reason, then the law doesn't generally apply. And so in this particular case, LGBT people lose the protection of this anti-discrimination ordinance.
Does this case have broader implications for free speech and religious rights, or was this opinion written more narrowly?
It's quite a narrow opinion, and I think what we see here is similar to what the Supreme Court did a couple of years ago in a case called Masterpiece Cake Shop, which was about whether a baker had to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. And in both of these instances, you see the court say, well, LGBT people are not going to get the benefit of this protection against discrimination in this particular case, but we're also not going to throw open the doors to, you know, discrimination run amok everywhere. We're going to say that based in this very particular way in which, in this case, the city ordinance is written, this protection doesn't apply. You know, one thing that was striking to me is at the end of his opinion, Roberts just dismisses Philadelphia's interest in equal treatment for LGBT foster parents. He really doesn't give any reason other than the existence of this exception. And it's just hard to imagine that kind of language in a Supreme Court opinion about any other form of discrimination. So that was striking to me.
I have less than 30 seconds with you, but any insights you're gleaning from how the justices aligned?
You know, the LGBT case was really surprising to me that all three liberal justices joined Roberts's opinion. And I think what we may be seeing here is the justices on the liberal side of the court trying to ward off what they saw as a far worse result in Justice Alito's concurrence, in which he's really trying to change the law to make it much, much harder to prevent religious groups from discriminating.
Emily Bazelon is a senior research scholar at Yale Law School. As always, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.